Let us pray. Lord, by your word, may the Spirit guide us into all truth, that our lives may glorify you. Amen. Our scripture reading is Psalm 27, 1 through 6. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's word. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to see God in God's temple. For in the day of trouble, God will keep me safe in the Lord's dwelling. The Lord will hide me in the shelter of God's tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At the Lord's tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now we have the pleasure of listening to John do some singing and telling us his story. Thank you, John.
Hi, my name is John, and I'm a work in progress. I'm going to start today with a little anecdote. If you've heard it before, you may have. It's the thing about the cucumbers and the pickles. You know, you start out as a cucumber and you come to church, and the church is kind of the brine, and if you stay in the church long enough, you'll become a pickle. Now, I don't want to get in on the debate of what's better, cucumber or pickle, but so with that in mind, one day I was walking along and somebody comes running up to me and goes, "Oh, you got to try these. They're delicious." Well, what are they? They're batter dipped dill pickle chips, deep fried dill pickle chips. And I thought to myself, "So is that the next stage in my growth there? I go from a pickle to a deep-fried, batter-dipped pickle chip? Is that what's coming to me?" I guess that little anecdote is a lot about growing and healing. I've heard it said that you can't have growth without healing, and you can't have healing without growth. And I wish it was that simple. I've spent a lot of time, I should say I've wasted a lot of time, trying to do too much when I could have turned it all over for God's help. I kept thinking, I got this. And the Lord says, "No, you don't." And it's just, you know, if I just turned a lot more things over to God, I would probably have been in a better space. But that's what growth is all about. Sometimes you just got to let Jesus take the wheel. And I'm thinking about another song by an artist named Tori Wells. She's a wonderful singer, and she's released a song called "God is Making Me a Masterpiece." And I thought about that and said, "Yeah, but what if you're a Picasso? Then you're in trouble. Or if you're a Jackson Pollock, oh boy." But he's kind of like that artist that got banned from all the exhibits of his work because he would show up with a couple of paintbrushes and a tube of paint in his pocket, and he'd go to his own and start finishing. Well, God's been doing that with me for a long time. You know, he's just doesn't seem to ever be finished with me. But I keep trying to grow and meet the expectations. So, anyway, I did write this song. It's in the first person, so you can get that. It's all about the life, love, and the way of Jesus. You may not know my reputation. Done some bad, I've done some good. My highs and lows were amazing. I did some things I never said I would. But he followed me when I was lost and walking on my own. Held me in his arms and kept me safe. In the storm, he put me on my feet so I could walk with him again. But I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for the life, the love, the way of Jesus. Open your heart to redemption. Forgive yourself and all the rest. I will rely upon my Savior from now until I take my final rest. 'Cause he followed me when I was lost and wandering on. There's one more thing I got to add to that little anecdote, because I found out just the other day that they now make dill pickle flavored cup of noodles. Okay, let that one sink in a bit. So, I guess that's my next step.
Thank you so much, John. I don't know if I took more pleasure in listening to you or to watching others listen to you. That was a prayerful and meaningful song, and I don't know exactly, because I haven't been here all that long, but I do know there's at least one song that we sing here that John has written, composed. I think that there may be more than that, so thank you for sharing your talent with us, and thank you also for sharing some pieces of your story. It was really heartfelt. And as I get to know each of you as you share, those of you who have volunteered, it's neat to see you all. Some of you have known each other a long time. Get to know one another a little bit better too, so thank you again. So our New Testament reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to read in chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. This is the word of the Lord. So we continue in this story, this series, Telling My Story. And actually, next week, we are going to have a guest preacher. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to be here, because I know how you are. I will still be here. We're going to take a few days and go camping this week, and then I will straggle in here and get to lead worship with my friend Connie, who is a pastor and a chaplain, and we work together in hospice. And I'm looking forward to hearing what she has to share with us next week. So we'll take a little break from this series, and then we will be back to it the following week. So we read of Bartimaeus in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and he has quite a story to tell, but unfortunately, we just don't really know a lot about it. He was Timaeus' son, we see that, and we don't know if he was blind from birth or not. Some say yes, and some say no. We do know, at least one thing, he was not the only person who was blind begging on the streets of Jericho, as the Gospel of Matthew has added one more in chapter 20. There are two men there. So there's a bit more detail in the Gospel of Mark, and there are also quite a few, I'll call them action words, if there are any of our grammar people here today, indicative of Bartimaeus' posture towards Jesus and all of the enthusiasm that he had. He heard, he shouted out, he threw off his cloak. Kind of hard to throw off your cloak sometimes, get your arms out and everything. He jumped to his feet. He came to Jesus. He spoke to him. He received his sight, and he followed him. That's a lot of action packed into a very short reading. And Bartimaeus is certainly excited about what Jesus does for him. He heals him, and he receives or maybe regains his sight that day. Bartimaeus certainly knew his own need, and he knew how to answer that question from Jesus about what he wanted Jesus to do for him. This is in contrast to James and John, who prior to this story, Jesus described as not knowing what they were asking Christ to do for them. Their request for seats of glory was something Jesus said he did not have the authority to give them. It's unclear whether Bartimaeus was always seated here at his normal post, and this was routine for him on the streets of Jericho, or if this was his first time. Very little is known of Bartimaeus' story. I kind of wonder why that is. Of the recorders of this story, and that's just in the three synoptic gospels, none of them list more than whose son he was. So was his story known? When I first started here as your pastor, I preached from the floor below, and we wheeled out the podium, and I think it was Keith who put wheels on it, which made it much more handy when we need to use it in the future. That was really nice. And then after a little while, I stood up here to try things out, and I received some really good feedback. First, you all can see me a little bit better. You know, sometimes somebody sits in front of you and they don't know that that's your pew and it obstructs your I'm just kidding, just teasing you a little bit. But mostly I heard that you can hear better because you can see my lips when I'm preaching and I see some nods. So that was actually really helpful feedback. Sometimes we have obstacles to our seeing, and all of us have blind spots in our sight. Now, we don't have a little experiment up here to conduct. We should have done it, but we didn't. If you had a piece of paper, and you put an X on one side, and you put a dot on the other side, and you covered an eye, and you moved it towards you, and I tried it yesterday morning, eventually this side over here would start to disappear. And that's your blind spot. I know you all want to do it. You can do it when you get home. I can see you. We all have a blind spot, as it turns out, in each of our eyes. A point in our eyes where we cannot see. And this is where the optic nerve, which sends messages to our brain, passes through the retina of our eye. There's no light receptors where that's happening, and so we can't see. That dot disappears and illustrates the blind spot that we have. But sometimes, and more than sometimes, quite often, our brains fill in the gap. And they fill in for where we cannot see, which is actually probably about right over here, right? For me. Sometimes, too, I think we are blind to who other people actually are and to what their stories are about. And those are blind spots for us. And guess what? Our minds still fill in the gaps. Have you ever made assumptions about anybody? Of course we all have. That's why Jesus spent so much time in the Gospels telling us not to judge other people. He said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." He said, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." We need to take time to hear another person's story. And that's exactly why we started this summer with this particular series. And when we do that, we may find that we have much more in common than we realize with that person. Failure to hear another person's story leads to marginalization of that person. Most of you know that for a little while now, and I inherited this, we have a weekly meeting on Thursday mornings, and I've been scolding myself for not bringing food to it, so this is my mental note to do that, for our worship team. And it's not everybody up here, it's kind of representatives from different things, and we check the bulletin, we check the scripture, we look at the slides and make the slides for Sunday. Sometimes I might look at the scripture and say that's pretty long and trim a couple verses for the person reading, that kind of thing. That doesn't mean we don't make mistakes. We do make mistakes. There are words that change and things like that. So thank you for your grace. You are graceful people. It does mean we pray for Sunday's worship service, and it's a nice time of fellowship even though we're working. And this week, one member of the worship team read this text and started to laugh when we reached verse 49. So Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside, and presumably he heard somehow how Jesus was coming then, along with a large crowd and the disciples. And so he began to shout, and you can picture this, I don't know how far away Jesus was, and those around him, like they do in a big crowd, began to rebuke him, of course, and tell him to be quiet. And the Greek there says, he actually, when they said, "Be quiet," he shouted out all the more after they said that to him. That's my kind of guy. He shouted, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said to the others, "Call him." And here's the part. Then it says the crowd called to the man who was blind and said, "Cheer up," which is when we started to laugh. Cheer up. Just get up. Jesus is calling you. I don't know what's wrong with you. Just get up. Well, the Greek here is used only at a few other times. Here are the few times. The word is used when Jesus tells a paralyzed man to take heart. That's different than cheer up. As well as when he heals the woman who was bleeding for 12 years, if you remember her, and he tells her to take courage. And the third occasion is in Acts, when Paul appears before the Sanhedrin, and it's the middle of the night, and it says the Lord comes close and stands there with him, and he says to take courage. So what does all that mean? It means cheer up is possibly not what they called out. Hey, cheer up! Who knows what they said? But a better translation would be for them to say, take courage and rise up. Jesus is calling you. But to not do this with the man's own strength, but with the Lord bolstering him and bringing him strength. And when Jesus asked Bartimaeus what he wanted, the man knew what he needed from Christ. He wanted to see, and Jesus made it so. So he was so excited that he threw off his cloak. I'm not sure if the crowd had any hand in helping him do this, or helped him up, or accompanied him to go to Jesus, presuming it was a little bit of a walk. But Bartimaeus knew what he needed in order to grow. So as they tell him to cheer up or buck up or get up or whatever it is before that, they were quieting him. And I wonder if the crowd had the same expectation for how he practiced his belief, his faith in Jesus, to do that in the same ways that they did. In other words, that his Christianity should look on the outside the same way that theirs does. Think about your own stories of God's faithfulness, and hopefully this series and hearing from others does inspire you to do that. Are you growing? Does it feel like maybe it's been a long time? There's definitely no judgment here. Well, how do we do that? Well, ask yourself where you would find yourself in this particular story in Scripture. That's always a good question to ask when we study the Bible. And there's other questions to ask in our kind of daily lives and as we interact with other people, like, why am I uncomfortable right now? Or why am I fearful and I'm not going up to that person to talk to them? Or why am I anxious? By examining ourselves, we begin to see some of our own prejudices and assumptions and biases. In seeing those, we're able to ask God to meet us in those places. And that's exactly where we'll begin to grow. Know yourself, as Bartimaeus did. Know your own need so that you may grow as a disciple of Christ. Now, finally, in our text today, we're told all of this takes place as Jesus and his disciples are leaving Jericho, and they were journeying to Jerusalem for what would be Jesus' last Passover meal. In fact, in the verses to follow, you'll see in your Bible, we read of the triumphal entry, which we know as Palm Sunday. And it appears in verse 52, I love this, that Jesus had one more follower to that large crowd and that group of disciples, and that was Bartimaeus. Can you picture him bringing up the rear? Kind of neat. The crowd had already said to him to take courage, and he would need it, as this journey would include the clearing of the temple, would include Jesus' righteous anger, witnessing that, his instructions to keep watch, his words that his death would come, the Last Supper, the crucifixion. For one who desired to see, I'm sure Bartimaeus had no idea he would see the death of the one who brought him sight. It also took tremendous courage for Bartimaeus to enter into that crowd that day, I imagine, and to make this journey. After all, he had been seated begging for food as they were all around. In other words, he was in their blind spot. His story was not known. Otherwise, I'd like to think we would have it in some of these gospels we have today. But Jesus, who knows all of us, stepped out to heal him. My challenge to you today, and I think this is a meaningful text, is to have courage and to take the time to learn someone else's story who lives on the margins. Not one of us here necessarily, we do that. That's part of what we do during our time together, and we remember God's faithfulness. But to learn someone else's story from the margins or from the side of the road, that's our first step in walking alongside other people. Now, as is typical Rachel, I write a sermon and then I'm like, there's no ending. There's no ending. Worse yet, when you write in three endings, that doesn't usually happen to me, but we can all think of preachers who do that, right? There was no ending. And I thought about what we talked about, and involving poetry or something into a sermon is not my normal practice. I'm not a big fan of that, but I do want to read you a poem today. It says, I listened to someone's story today, sat at her hip on her dusty couch, her discarded lunch in front of her. I wonder if she remembers eating it. She stares at the birds most days. They may be her favorite. Raccoons and possums and squirrels, not so much. She went to church with her grandfather, but can't remember his name now. She is dizzy when she rises. Watching golf brings some joy. She asks me to water her plant. Its leaves always reveal if she's received a visitor. It's dry, parched. She laughs then at a commercial, tells me of a time she worked in a post office. She looks content then, glancing out the window. I lean forward, say nothing, and take her hand, and so am I. As we hear other stories, may we learn how much we have in common with other people around us, the people that God loves so dearly, and may we become acquainted with our own blind spots as well. Amen.